All right. Topic of this workshop is it's the application that works, and our speaker is Jessica Esk. Come on, Jess.
Thank you. Not you having it wrote down on a piece of paper. Hey, I'm Jessica, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jessica.
I think it's funny how, things end up in our path and how we get put in places and all that stuff. So, I am originally from Nashville, Tennessee. My clean date is July 23rd, 2016. And, when I first got, asked to speak here, it was kind of funny how that had worked out. And then he was like, there's three different things you can do: spirituality, sponsorship, or it's the application that works. And I was like, well, it's the application, obviously, would be probably the most appropriate for me. And the reason being is because, I think that my entire life now is a direct result of my ninth step amends. It's always amazing to me, literally how, I got to where I am now. I grew up in a really small town right outside of Nashville, and I have three brothers. I'm the only girl, and my entire family is also addicts. So I try not to tell too much of their story because it's a lot of theirs to tell, and as they respect mine as well. But I grew up in a lot of childhood trauma. That part is mine to be able to own. I have a lot of trauma from my dad. He had ended up, leaving the situation, and my mom went through a lot of stuff as well. She had originally gotten clean when I was about four, and she was clean for a long period of time and then had some struggles, of her own. So I grew up with my brothers and my grandparents and my aunt. I love her to death. She served in the military, so she was very much militant. So if there's any veterans in here, thank you for your service. But she didn't really understand how to kind of separate some of that stuff. She didn't understand how to, be a master sergeant at work and then how to be an aunt at home. So some of that stuff kind of bled over, and that is very traumatizing to a very small child. But she is one of my biggest supporters. Today, the relationship that we have is actually quite amazing compared to the wreckage that I caused in the past. I grew up really, really poor. We didn't have, there wasn't a whole lot of childhood memories of going here or doing these things. And a lot of it was we were playing in the ditch in the backyard with my cousins and with our neighbors. That's basically how we grew up. We grew up very much outside. So there was not inside on tablets like my children like to do sometimes. We had a lot of memories being made literally within where we lived. As I continued to grow up, I started ending up I would go over friends' houses that I went to school with or something. And I always thought that what went on inside of my home went on inside everybody's home until I started going to friends' houses. So I started realizing very quickly that things were not the same across the board. Everybody did not have the same life. I started realizing that some people had money, some people could do things, some people's family looked perfect on the outside. Mine just bled over into everything, so we never actually had we didn't look like the white picket fence family. It was just all out in the open. Again, in a small town, everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everybody's business, except for some people that are good at hiding it. But my family's business was never, good in hiding whatsoever. I love my family. I will say that. I love them very much. Today is very different compared to what it was. We went through a lot of, my family members dying. A lot of them died due to what was going on with addiction in a few different types of ways. As I was realizing that I did not fit in other places, I never really found out, in life, where I did fit in. I always felt one way here with these type of friends and then one way here with those type of friends. Like I was always felt like I was trying to blend in somewhere and I didn't know like where Jessica's people were. So luckily I did find them in Narcotics Anonymous, how funny, but I never found them growing up. So school was really hard for me. It was always like I had a lot of pressure on me to do good in school, but then had like a wreckage of a home life. So that's very complicated for a child being able to try to like manage some of that stuff. I grew up around a whole bunch of people where I knew like what I didn't want to be like, not like with role models. Like I didn't grow up with role models. So I started using when I was 13 years old. I was like running around with some friends that were older than me, and so they had already been through, you know, the trial and error phase and then had moved on to addiction. But I didn't really realize like what that looked like for me. I just knew that I didn't want to end up like any of my family, right? So I didn't want to end up like those type of people. When I started using, the very first time that I used, like I will never forget like how warming and comforting that it was for me, and it just felt like it was everything that I had ever missed was like right in front of me. And so I was like, oh wow, like it's really this simple, like this is all it takes to feel normal, right? I didn't realize like how quickly that was fixing to ruin my entire life. So I started off heavy, and so it just very quickly went downhill. I did not start off with like really fun years. Like it was very miserable very quickly. So I was getting in a lot of trouble. I was ending up in and out of the system. It was causing family problems on top of already having family problems. It was a lot of like trying to hide, but like it is completely something that you can see. I mean, I know y'all know what I mean by that. Like I see some people and I'm just like, man, they're struggling, like they're in the grips. And I thought that I was hiding this like forever, but I wasn't. So I ended up, like I had always kept good grades in school. I'm not real sure how, but I did. And I actually excelled in academics. So I was playing sports. I had a lot of things going for me, except for a drug addiction that was like not going to let me go ever, right? So it ended up ruining all those things for me. I somehow made it through high school. Really not sure how I done that, but I did. And then I ended up losing all my grandparents. And those were people that had a significant impact on my life. Like those were my safe people. My grandmothers were my safe people. So once I lost them, it kind of was like, well, I don't really have anybody to live for anymore, you know? So it kind of just really progressed through the years. After I graduated high school, I had been with my oldest son's dad, for a period of time, and he was not supposed to be able to have children, and neither was I. So he had already had a whole lot of children, but after that point was not supposed to have any more. So we ended up getting pregnant, and I'm not really sure how that happened, and neither are the doctors, and yes, it's his child. So we basically kind of was like, well, I mean, it's a miracle, baby. Like, this is what's supposed to happen if it just happened this way, right? So I will never forget the moment that I found out and this is what's insane, but my very first thought when I found out I was pregnant was, this is my way out of addiction. Like, having a baby is going to be my way out of addiction. And I didn't know that it didn't work that way, and that it was just going to put me farther into addiction. So I continued to use while I was pregnant with my first son. And when I was... let's see, I probably was about 6 months pregnant. There was like some type of switch in me that was kind of like, okay, like soon I kind of need to get my life together, or like I'm going to die. But I also was like, I don't know, like this baby's probably better off without me. That was kind of the more side I was leaning towards, was I think this baby's going to be better off without me. But then I also was kind of like, well, I don't really want to leave him with the people that are available to leave him with, right? So I really struggled internally, and I know that it's like a lot of stigma around people who use drugs, but carry a baby in your belly and use drugs, and it's a whole different type of something I've never experienced. It was truly disgusting. I felt like I was everywhere I was. I felt like I was like screaming for help, but I could not get that help because nobody could see past a pregnant woman using drugs. So those are actually, like, in my line of work today, those are one of my target groups of people is pregnant women who use drugs, because I know that if I might not love on them, nobody might ever in this point of time, like, where they're at in their life. So when I got ready to have my son, I had actually used and sent myself into early labor. So he was also breech, so that means that his feet were down, and babies are not supposed to come out that way. So I ended up having to have an emergency C-section with him, and I will never forget the amount of people that were at the hospital literally waiting to take my child from me. I think the way that my higher power works is that he knew that eventually, like, I was going to be able to be that mom that that baby needed. So he didn't punish me. So my child was born, and they tested him, and he tested clean. And how there's no type of science that can explain how that happened. That baby should not have tested clean. So when he did, they could not take my baby from me. Now, I was not testing clean, so they technically couldn't just go, well, here you go. So my mom kind of stepped in and was like, I will help with whatever I need to. I will sign whatever I need to. So we did not have to deal with the system beginning his life. So I again thought this is going to be my saving grace from addiction, like I've gotten another chance. And lo and behold, it was not. So I continued to use. We went home. I continued to use. And what I found myself doing was leaving my baby with my mom, and I was like, I'll be right back, right? Well, those 30 minutes turned into 30 hours and turned into 30 days, and it was an absolute disaster from there. So throughout that process, I had experienced a couple overdoses, but not like my last one. And so I had stayed out all night. I was partying in a hotel. I was supposed to be on the way to get my son, and I get in the car, and like things were just really blurry from this point, but I got in the car, and I'm like driving down the road, and I literally was like, I am fixing to die. Like, I know I'm about to die. So I go to pull over at the gas station, and as I'm doing that, I overdosed, so I went out. I lost consciousness, and then the way that I went out, though, I had my foot on the brake and on the gas at the same time, and apparently a car doesn't like that, so it started sending carbon monoxide like through my air vents. So I'm like dying on top of being killed, if that even makes any sense. So I come to as I'm being drug out of the window of my car. So an off-duty firefighter had busted my window out of my car. He administered Narcan to me and had pulled me out of my vehicle. And so the gratitude that I have for another human being, like, knowing that my life was worth something when I did it, is amazing. And like, I just, there's something about first responders that are really near and dear to my heart, because they do a lot of stuff that they don't even get paid for or recognized for. And so because of that man, like, I get to be a mama today. And so when that happened, I was like, okay, Jessica, like, this is your third chance, your way out of addiction, right? No. So I continued to use, but I knew that I either was going to die or had to get it together. Like, I knew there was no more, like, in between. So my mom had me make my funeral plans because she said, you're fixing to leave me with a baby. And so we need to know what to do for you as your family. So we made my funeral plans, and I will never forget as I was sitting there and I was writing it out, and I was just like, Mom, like, please don't ever let nothing happen to him. And she didn't for the time being. And so finally, a few months later, when my son was 1 year old, well, he was about to be one, I went into treatment. I went into a detox center, and 2 days later, it was my son's first birthday while I was in that detox center. And all I could sit there and think of was, like, you have wrecked this child's life, like, the whole first year of his life. Like, I had missed first everything. If I was physically present, I was not mentally present and have no memory of what was going on. So I was getting ready to leave, and I was telling myself, like, I'm going to his birthday party, right? That's what I was telling myself. But I knew I was lying to myself and everybody else in that treatment facility, because that is not what I was doing. I had full plans of leaving. I was going to get high, and I was fixing to just make my own way out, because I knew I had done, like, wrecked everything at that point. So also, the way that my higher power works is he knows that I have to have, like, something tangible or something, or I'm not listening to you. So he puts people in front of me, right? So I was getting ready to walk out, and this counselor, I absolutely could not stand him. But so the way he said my name, like, caught my attention, though. And so I turned around and I was like, what could you possibly want from me now, right? And so he said, Jessica, he said, if you leave, you will never live to see another birthday. He said, but if you stay, like, you never have to miss another one. And I've never missed another of my baby's birthday. Y'all don't understand. When I start like thinking about, like, that's literally my life, like, it just tears me all up. So I ended up staying. I went to the inpatient side. That was in a whole nother city. I was in the middle of nowhere in Hohenwald, Tennessee. I had never been there, and I'm like, what do you mean Hohenwald, Tennessee? That's not even a place. Thought they were trying to kidnap me. I'm not joking. So the van driver was, like, driving us there, and I'm like, you need to let me out of this van right now. Like, there is no sight of any people that I have seen in, like, the past 300 miles, and he was not letting me out of that van, okay? So I just knew I was getting kidnapped and murdered and all that. But then he pulled up at a treatment center, and I have never been so grateful to jump out of a rape van, okay? So I called it anyways. So I was so excited, and they were like, what is going on? I was like, you don't understand. I thought I was just kidnapped and done for. Like, please let me in this place. So I get there, and they give me this counselor that, like, I walked into his office, right? And so there's, like, all these awards on his wall, and I'm like, yeah, I don't like you, like, already. And so he's like, I am Mike, like, I haven't done anything to you. And I was like, right, but I don't like you. So all his little awards was, like, best counselor of the year for Tennessee, this and that and the third. And I'm like, I don't like you, you know? And so he was like, I probably don't like you either, but, like, we got to work together, you know? So we started doing family therapy, and I'm just like, this is a disaster. Like, my family needs therapy outside of therapy with me. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're the problem. And so over a period of time, like, I can't, so my insurance kept extending my stay, so I was just made myself at home there. I cannot tell you a single thing that I learned from rehab, but what I can say is it was a place that saved my life, and it provided me a safe place to be, to at least get my head cleared enough to figure out what I was going to do next, right? So we're getting ready to start my discharge planning, and so I'm like, God, I can't wait to go back home to Nashville. Like, I'm off in somewhere I don't even know where I am, and I'm ready to get home. And my mom is like, absolutely not. She was like, unless you go somewhere and you stay clean for a year, like, you will not see this baby. So mind you, she had not used him as, like, a leverage whatsoever. She was like, if you do not stay clean for a year and get away from here, like, you will not see this baby. And so I'm like, I'm a smart ass. So I was like, where do you want me to go? Knoxville, Tennessee? Like, kidding. And she's like, that sounds fabulous. Like, that's far enough away. You can go there. And I'm like, girl, that is, like, 3.5 hours away. I'm not going to Knoxville. Like, I was joking. She was like, no, you're going to Knoxville. So you find you a little halfway house up there, and that's where you're going to go. And so I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. So found a halfway house. Then I called my friend, and I was like, hey, if you come pick me up from rehab, like, we can go get high, then go to the halfway house, right? Like, that's a plan. And so he's like, yeah, cool. Just tell me when, whatever. Well, then mom called my counselor to tell my counselor that I meant to ask. My counselor was like, no, she's got a ride. And my mom's like, no, she don't. Like, you know. So I'm like, oh, yes, I do. Like, I'm grown. So I'm going to pick up my discharge papers, right? And mind you, I'm probably the most spiteful person that you will ever meet in your entire life. But it is for the greater good today. I will say that's become an asset. So I went through to get my discharge papers, and he goes to hand me my papers, and he was like holding them. So I'm like trying to, and I'm like, Mike, I thought we were at a mutual disagreement. Like, we don't like each other. Just give me my stuff so I can go. You know what I mean? And so he said, Jessica, he said, you're never going to make it. And I was like, oh, yeah? You want to bet? So I called my mom. I said, please come get me, because I was fixing to go get high, and my counselor, Mike, thinks I'm not going to make it. So I need you to come get me and take me to the halfway house, please. So again, my higher power puts somebody in front of me that stopped Jessica's whole plan, because otherwise I would have been good and gone, and I don't think I would have made it back. So anyways, we head up to Knoxville, Tennessee. We're like up in the mountains. I'm like, my ears are hurting. I'm already sick. I don't think I belong here. This is ridiculous. Mind you, I've never been outside of Nashville. So going up in the mountains really like messed up. I'm not even joking. Like, my ears are hurting. I was ready to puke. Now, like, when I come back home to Nashville, it's my ears are hurting. I'm ready to puke. I'm used to the mountains. So anyway, so we're like going to this halfway house, right? And my mom, mind you, I told you my mom was in recovery. So my mom, she's like, I've seen these places before. And I'm like, girl, we are off in the middle of East Tennessee. Like, you do not know where you're at, and neither do I. Like, just keep driving. She's like, I'm telling you, I've been here before. And I'm like, okay. So we pull into the house, and my mom is being so weird. We pull into the house. They come outside. They go to take us upstairs. And so when we get upstairs, in Knoxville, there's this big thing called the Sun Sphere, and it's like a big statue that has a big golden ball. It's, like, really cool. And so I never knew it was called a Sun Sphere for a long time, but anyways, it's a Sun Sphere. So when you walk into my room at the halfway house, there's a big glass window, and you can see the Sun Sphere, like, clear as day. And I'm like, dude, how beautiful is that? Well, then I realized, like, my mom's not answering me, because she's also one of those, like, how cool people. So I turn around, and my mom's bawling her eyes out. And I'm like, Mom, I made it to the halfway house. Like, I'm not going to get high. Like, what are you crying about now, you know? And she said, this used to be Agape, and this was my room when I was pregnant with you. And so I was like, well, I guess I got to stay here now, you know. No talking her out of that. And she was just like, how funny, like, full circle, you know. She's like, I really think you belong here. So I never knew that Knoxville, Tennessee was going to become my home. Like, I had full plans of getting up out of there. I was just going to stay clean for a year so I could see my child and go, right? So mind you, since I had changed my mind, she came to get me. She brought my son with us. So I got to tell everybody goodbye that night. I went to my first NA meeting. So when I back up to when I was really young, I was 14 when I went to my first treatment center, and they took us to an outside NA meeting. So I had no idea what Narcotics Anonymous meant. I was the youngest one there. It was all these, like, older at the time, people probably my age. And I was like, what in the world is going on? I thought it was, like, a secret place that people met up to do, like, drug deals. And I had no idea. Okay, I was 14. Our minds at 14 do not think like our minds at 30, okay? So in my defense, it made sense. So I walk in, everybody's crying. I'm like, what is going on? I've got to get up out of here. So I finally talked them into letting me sit in the van until we went back to the treatment center. That was my first experience with NA, okay? So I was like anti-NA because I had no clue what it even was. So I had figured out through multiple rounds of treatment, like, what 12-step programs were, but I was never willing to even, like, I was reading some of the steps and stuff, and I'm like, like, that's just too much. So I went to a meeting that night, and so it was Hugs Not Drugs. That meeting is still my home group 7 years later. And so when I was so broken, and I had literally the smallest amount of hope that I've ever had in my life, because I just knew that I was not worth staying clean, and I could not do it. Like, I didn't know how long it would be. But I knew for a fact that something was going to happen and I wasn't going to make it. But I was really trying my hardest. So when I went into that meeting, I was met with so much love. Like, I think my higher power knew that, like, I just needed these hugs that nobody else outside of NA gives you. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Those hugs. Like, I think my higher power just knew that I needed those hugs that night. And so, mind you, it's called Hugs Not Drugs. So, yes, people get made by their sponsors to stand at the door to, like, hug everybody, right? That used to be a thing before COVID. And so, like, all these people are, like, hugging me against my will, too. But, like, it was amazing hugs. And so, I'm like, I kind of like these people. Like, they're weird as hell, you know? Like, we just belong here, right? So when I come in, some of the home group members are doing service work. They're like, here's how you make coffee. And I'm like, slow down. Like, I'm new here. And they're like, right, which is why you're going to make coffee. And so I was like, no. And they're like, okay, well, then you can go pick up cigarette butts. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I'll take the coffee, right? So I ended up picking up cigarette butts. And so I just kept going to meetings, and I had gotten into a weekend had come up, and everybody wanted to go to a speaker meeting. And I was trying to figure out how to get home, right? Because I was going to get home. My mom wasn't going to know I was home. I don't have no idea what was going on. So I didn't know that the bus station was like two roads over from halfway house I was in, and nobody offered that information to me either. Mind you, I wasn't from there. So they all just kept like trying to reroute me. And so they were like, okay, this girl that had been there for a while, she was like, I'll make you a deal. She's like, we'll go to the speaker meeting. And she was like, if you like the speaker meeting, you stay. If you don't like the speaker meeting, I'll drive you to the bus station. Mind you, I didn't know the bus station was two roads over, and I could have walked through 2 yards and been at the bus station, right? Nobody told me that. So we go to the speaker meeting, and I will never forget, I literally walk in the door, and they're introducing who is my friend now. They were introducing Alec, and I come walking, and he just starts speaking, and like immediately he starts telling my story. And so I'm like, oh my God, this man is a different gender. He's a different race. I have no clue who he is. And he is literally standing up there telling my story. And I just started crying because I'm like, what is going on around here? Like, this is crazy. And so after the meeting, anyways, I end up loving the meeting, right? So I stayed there, and I went up to him after the meeting. I was like, man, like, I don't think you understand. Like, you literally just saved my life. And so he was celebrating that night. He was celebrating a milestone. And so, like, everybody just, you know how we do in NA. Like, we party after the celebrations, and everybody hangs out. We go get food and all that stuff. And so they had invited me out to dinner. Like, we were doing bowling or something and eating. And I was like, I don't have any money. And they were like, nobody asked you if you had money. And I was like, well, then how are we going to eat? Like, I don't have money. And so, like, some of my predecessors, you know, they were always like, okay, well, when you get money, you pay for somebody else one day. Like, we got it. Let's go. Like, you're not saying no to going to get coffee or going bowling. And so, like, just the amount of people in Narcotics Anonymous that ended up, like, just loving me to life. And then, I had went through a couple sponsors. I couldn't find who was right for me yet, right? So I ended up, this lady named Tina, she was like just an asshole. And so I was like, I like that woman because she has a lot of clean time, and like she just sounded like she knew what she was talking about, you know what I mean? But like, I just felt like she was so rude. And so I didn't really like her, right? So I get mad at the halfway house one night. I go to the meeting, and I'm like sharing, but I'm like cussing everybody out at the halfway house and cussing the chores out and everybody and their dogs. So I tell everybody in the meeting, like, F you, all them, you all, I'm leaving, right? So I get my bag, I go to head out, and the only person, mind you, there are, like, my home group is deep. So there was, like, 150 people in this meeting, and there was one person that followed me out of that meeting knowing where I was going was not somewhere good. I didn't know where I was going, but I knew I wasn't walking back in that meeting, right? So I go storming out, and she follows me, and I'm like, lady, you need to get away from me, like, literally before I hit you. Like, I need a whole space, right? And you're in it, so you need to, like, get out of it. And she was like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, we're going to have a talk. So that turned into, like, a three-hour cry session, and then I asked her to be my sponsor, right? So I have had her since then. That was when I had, like, 6 months clean. Bless her heart. She'd been doing me for 7 whole years. And so she just celebrated 30 years clean. And so, like, she is amazing. When I tell you, like, that woman, oh, my God. I don't know how she's dealt with me, but she has brought me through some stuff. Like, literally, like, we carry each other, you know. And so I'm super grateful for that. But the biggest thing was, when I started using drugs, like, I was so young, like, people taught me what I needed to do, right? So with NA, I was a little bit confused because I kept getting yelled at because I said I was sober, and like all this, I just could not understand what was going on. It was just too much. And there's like 15 books, and I'm like, who has time to read? Like, I don't read books. Do you know what I mean? And they're like, well, you're going to. And I'm like, I'm not. And so anyways, I have front to back multiple times of all of them, and I love them, right? So my sponsor taught me how to do step work, okay? So when we were first starting, I was like, this stuff doesn't make sense to me. And she's like, right, don't have to make sense. Just answer the questions and put it on paper. And I was like, well, I feel like that's completely pointless because then we're doing nothing with it. And she's like, correct. Then we learn how to apply the stuff in our life, right? And so I'm like, oh, okay, like she, I'm telling you, she sounds like she knows what she's talking about sometimes, right? So we start writing out step work, and like then we start learning how to apply it to certain situations, right? And so when I found out like how to apply steps and traditions to my entire life, like literally things started changing so quickly. So when I had a year clean, I had went back home for one of my friend's memorials. I ended up getting arrested. I didn't know that I had a sealed indictment. So mind you, I was clean when this happened. Okay. So I'm like clean, sitting in jail. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is not worth it. And so I didn't know that on the outside, my sponsor, my youngest child son, and my mom were working on getting me out of jail. They had talked to the halfway house, all this stuff. But I'm inside freaking out, right? Because they wouldn't even let me make a phone call. And I was like, you don't understand. I'm clean now. Like, you got to let me make a phone call. And they're like, right, it doesn't work that way. So, but I thought it did. So, apparently, I'm just telling you, if you go to jail, you can't use NA as a, I need to make a phone call. Because it don't work. So anyways, like, just through all the chaos, so I ended up having, I got pregnant while I was in the halfway house. And my family, so I didn't have my oldest son, my mom had him, and I ended up pregnant in the halfway house. Like, this was the most typical Jessica move that has ever Jessica'd. Does that make sense? Like, that is just story of how I am. So my family was not really happy with me because they're like, what are you doing? Like, you don't even have your oldest son. You still don't have your life together. You probably can't even pay rent right now, and you're about to have another child. And I'm like, it just makes sense to me. Like, I don't really know what else to tell y'all. It really makes sense about my life. So I kept myself together out of spite because my whole family is just, I don't think outside of my mom and my brothers, everybody was really just rooting for me at that point, right? So I ended up getting my own place, getting my own vehicle. I had to go through a whole lot of hoops, paying license off and this and that. Y'all, I didn't even know that before I had got clean that I didn't have a license for 5 years, but I was wondering why I kept going to jail so many times. I just couldn't remember. And so for one of the things, I had to pull a driver's report. And so there was like 15 driving on suspended, driving on revoked. And I was like, oh, that's where all those mugshots come from. Like, I kept going to jail because I was driving without a license. So I ended up doing it the right way. I got insurance. Then I got my car. Then I met my insurance, my license, my insurance, then my car, right? So I done something a little bit different. Tried to do it the right way. Because I knew if I bought a car, I was going to be driving that car without insurance and without a license, right? So I just chose a little cat bus and then done everything the right way. So I started getting everything in order, moved out, and I was very pregnant with my youngest son. I ended up getting custody back of my oldest and then giving birth to my youngest son. And it literally, like, since then has just been like us three against the world. And so, like, it's really hard trying to parent and also apply programs to every area of your life. Because, you know, it's like I can either apply what I've learned or child abuse. It's like either one or the other, right? So, like, I have to, I mean, joking, but kind of not. So, it's hard to figure out sometimes where those things that I learned to apply, like, where they apply and how, right? So, I have two little babies that have grown up in NA. They're now 8 and 6. And they probably take my inventory more than anybody else on the face of this earth does. And they know what that means, and they tell their little friends, and their friends are like, what? And so they just, like, my little one will tell people to call their sponsor, and I'm like, you can't say that to everybody. Like, everybody don't have a sponsor. Do you know what I mean? So my 6-year-old thinks that every person on this earth has a sponsor. So, you know, it's fine. I think they're being raised right, right? So we ended up, like, we've just gone through a lot of adversity when we were trying to, like, we were living in a little apartment that it was so much going on, and we were trying to get a home, and everyone kept denying me because of my background, because mind you, I had been clean for a minute before these charges had happened, so nowhere was willing to rent to me. I was, like, begging all these people, and finally I got this random phone call from this lady, and she was like, hey, I kind of got wind of your situation. And she was like, I'm a second chance landlord, and I only like to rent out my houses to people who are not able to be rented out to anywhere else. And she was like, you know, like, violent offenders, sex offenders, drug. And I was like, girl, what? And I was like, well, as long as I, you know, near a sex offender, like, I'm good to go. And so that lady, I have so much gratitude in my heart for her. We still live in that little house. So until we get our forever home, we're still there. She's been fantastic. She's not one of us, but she's very supportive of people trying to get a second chance at life. So that's where me and the babies have grown up. So I started working in treatment, and I realized that it's really hard to apply spiritual principles to people that are freshly coming off of drugs all the time. And so I realized very quickly that I do not belong inside of those treatment centers if I'm not a patient. So I decided to kind of go a little bit of a different route. I started working in harm reduction, and I was working in one of our trauma hospitals. And so I just figured out that that was how I could reach more people. And the reason being was because when I first started, like, really getting into NA, and I was working in 12-step treatment facilities, right, I was preaching to people that, like, NA was the only way. Like, no, you're wrong. You can't do that, and you can't do that. Like, NA is the right way, right? Because it worked for me, and nothing else had ever worked for me. Like, I'm literally the addict talking about, you know, we tried medicine, religion, psychiatry. None of that worked for me. Like, NA worked for me. So I thought it would work for everybody, right, which I still in my heart believe that it will. But I figured out that that was not the way to reach people through that, right? That was not the way for me to carry that message. So it took a minute for me to figure out where I fit in career-wise, that's the best way for me to reach people. And so that's when I started figuring out that it was the attraction, not the promotion piece, right? I don't even have to go around telling people that I'm a member of NA today, right? But they start getting attracted to this way of life that you have, and then they want to know. Then they want to know. Then they want to do. Then they want to follow you, right? And so I figured out, like, what it actually meant to start applying some of this stuff in my life. And so what I thought was really funny was there was a, a few years ago, the, is this group called Out of the Darkness into Light? The name of the convention. Okay. So a few years ago, we got a phone call from someone down here, and they said that they needed help selling some t-shirts. And so I'm like, dude, people in Knoxville love buying t-shirts. Like, send us some boxes. We can sell them, right? So we're like flipping t-shirts. I know that sounds crazy, but y'all know how we are. So we're like, when they come in, they were like all black, and they had like these neon things, and it said Out of the Darkness into Light on the front. And then on the back, here was a cool part. This is what sold everybody out, right? It had what looks like an x-ray of a spine, and down the spine, it said sponsorship on it. And so everybody like went crazy over these t-shirts. So we like sold boxes of these t-shirts in Knoxville and had no clue that it was actually for a convention. Anyways, what I thought was funny was when I agreed to coming down, I didn't even, like, I had no idea what I had just agreed to. I knew I had just agreed to do a workshop at a convention, right, in Decatur, Alabama. That was as far as we had gotten. So when I seen the flyer come up, and it was like Out of the Darkness into Light, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, that's the same. And then the really funny thing, like, my favorite line out of any of our literature is literally lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. And I can't tell you how many t-shirts that I have put that on. Okay. Like, I just love it. So when I seen it on the flyer, I was like, wait a second, like, I'm supposed to be there, right? Like, I already knew I was supposed to be here, but I was like, I'm supposed to be there. So I just thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, like, I have, like, when we were driving down, like, one of my sponsees came with me, we were driving down and we were talking and stuff. And, we just, like, we go into these, like, intimate conversations, right? And so, like, I was sitting there thinking about how many people are in my life today that I have intimate relationships with, like, my kids, my friends, my sponsees, my sponsor, all the people that I work with, right? People, like, the guy at the corner store at the gas station, like, I feel like we have a pretty intimate relationship. He sees me at some times that nobody else sees me, and we have a lot of conversations that he might or might not want to have, right? So he gets the fresh early morning version, right? And so I was just sitting there thinking about that, and I was like, wow, man, like, the life that NA has given me, because I learned how to apply really simple stuff in my life. And, like, at first it just sounded not so simple, though. Like, it sounded so complicated. Like, I was like, what do you mean take a second and think before I cuss somebody out? Like, that's not realistic, right? No, it actually is, because today I have a whole life that I can lose if I don't know how to act in certain places, right? Now, with youth sports, we're still working on it. We're working on it. My kids play ball. They play 18 different types of ball at all times of the year. So sometimes, like, that's just, we just get a little extra excited, right? And then other parents get extra excited. So that's one area of my life that I'm working on. But outside of that, I have figured out, like, how to apply this stuff to my life. And I think that one of the biggest clarification parts of that for me was the traditions. Like when I figured out how the steps apply to my life, right? But then how the traditions could apply to everyone else and not Jessica, right? I think that's when I figured out how this application of this program made my life so much easier. And I know that, like, I know that life happens on life's terms. Like, that's just how that works. Like, we don't get to choose what's going to happen in our life, right? And literally at any given point in time, things are very quickly to take a left turn or a right turn, right? So today, though, what I do know is I may not be able to control that car going left or right, but I sure can control that steering wheel and I can control my speed, right? So I need to be able to understand how it is important for me to know how to navigate through this life. And like when I first got clean, like I was so confused. I had never been, mind you, I started using it at a very early age. So I didn't know how to go out in public and like have fun at the bowling alley, like without being high. Like I had no clue how to do that. So I was very awkward at first. Like, and I'm actually a social butterfly, but it took a second because I just didn't know how to navigate this life. And so like being able to have a program that has not only been able to help me stay clean, but also help me learn how to be a mom and how to be a daughter and a sister and a friend and a coworker. I think that right there has been what has caused the ripple effect, is literally applying these simple things in my life when it is most necessary. And I know it sounds crazy, but like it worked for me. The gratitude that I have for NA, because like I know that there's been a lot of things along the way that have contributed to me staying in recovery, right? But like my foundation is Narcotics Anonymous. And I know that. And I know that I don't ever want to forget that, because I don't ever want to forget the way that NA welcomed me and the way that NA has never turned me down and the way that the program has never let me down or the program's never led me wrong, right? And so I think sometimes like we put these expectations on human beings to be able to be that guidance or be that certain type of person. I know I get let down just about every time, right? So like understanding that when I have to go back to the basics of this program, not the human beings that are associated with this program, I know that I won't be let down, right? I don't know, man. I literally could probably sit here and tell my story all day long with all the hoops and everything that have been through and gratitude moments that have been through the past 7.5 years. It's literally simple. Like NA has been able to give me a life like literally beyond my wildest dreams. And like it may be so simple to other people, but to me it's not. Like it's really something that I never ever would have thought of. And like when I start thinking back, like every time I start telling my story, like I just start getting emotional because I can't even believe that 7.5 years ago, like that I'm that same person. I'm in the same body. Like, I got a little more weight than what I used to have, you know. That wasn't there, but I'm literally the same person. And like have been able to grow and evolve over the years, like even with, like I'm so different now than I was when I had 2 years clean and when I had 4 years clean. And so I just know that like literally NA has given me that promise. Like, and I know that like all of my lost dreams have awoken. Like I have now like the mentality of the sky's the limit, and I'm sorry, I don't care who don't feel right about that. Like I know that there's no stopping me today, right? And it's always new possibilities on the horizon, like literally everywhere I turn. And so I'm super grateful that we got to drive all morning. I felt like we drove overnight, but we kind of did, but it was like early morning, if that makes sense. It was dark. That was the problem. I was like, I feel like we're doing like an overnight road trip, but it was really just an early morning road trip. I needed that time. Like I needed that time with my sponsee, and we ended up, like things happened where the stars aligned and we're all going to end up at one meeting tonight and be able to have some girl time that, you know, is really special and important to me. I think it's really important being able to find our tribes and know who our people are, know that NA as a whole is our people, right? But we need to find those people who are able to kind of go on that same path with us and who can support us and who have the same visions and be able to help each other stay clean, because that's what we do. I'm super grateful for you all having me here, and I really do appreciate you all letting me share my life with you. That's one of the things I love doing. It's probably one of my favorite forms of service. I also like talking. I can sit and talk all day, and I squirrel so we can have like 15,000 conversations in an hour, right? Which is even, that's cool. When you meet those people, I'm like, oh, we're on the same page. Like, and then 30 minutes later, like, oh, yeah, by the way, like me and Becky are that way bad. So we had like 5,000 conversations on the way down here, and we got every one of them done. Like, I'm telling y'all, it's amazing. Find your people, you know what I mean? But yeah, so that's a little bit about me and my life, and how the program of NA has been able to show me like the way to live, and it's continued to keep me clean. And I hope that our program never changes, and I hope that more people continue to be able to find NA or whatever that works for them. But the way of life that I've been able to find in here is just something that I wouldn't have been able to find anywhere else. So I'm super grateful for that. And I think, are we supposed to do questions? We have 10 minutes. So if y'all want to do questions, you're more than welcome to.
So if they do questions, I want you to repeat the question. If somebody else wants to share, they need to come up here because we have to keep track.
Okay. No? Does anybody want to share? Oh, come on. That was good stuff. Okay. We're good?
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.